Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenge, and today is Wednesday. So it's the day we see how the Bible's take on our topic this week challenges and transforms our thinking. We're looking this week at the difference between a follower of Jesus and somebody else in terms of how we use our money, how we prioritize our financial resources in this world. You can imagine how that contrast might appear in various circles. And just to kind of highlight how people can think differently about money and have different priorities around money, I thought I'd show or encourage you to watch a YouTube video. You'll find a link to it attached to today's challenge. It comes from CBC, their show Dragon's Den, you may be familiar with Kevin O'Leary. And he was on the Lang and O'Leary Exchange, and he was asked what he thought of the fact that the 85 richest people in the world make the same income as about 3.2 billion poorest people in the world. What Kevin said was that he thought that was a fantastic statistic. Those were his words, that's fantastic. Because it meant that those 3.2 billion people could look up to the rich people and desire to be rich themselves, and that this would help them lift themselves up by the bootstraps. That's essentially what he was saying. Now the Bible thinks about it rather differently. And we're going to add a little more scripture than we read yesterday. Yesterday, I read to you from 1 Timothy, Paul speaking to his protege Timothy about how to teach about money in his new church that he's leading. He followed up yesterday's reading with these words about the rich in their church. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Now in that passage, Paul uses the same language Jesus was known for using, of storing up treasures in heaven and not on earth. He says that when the rich use their wealth for generosity, for caring for others, for giving, they are doing something of eternal and lasting value. What they're doing is living what is truly life. When they hold on to their money, when they hoard it, when they keep it away from other people, or when they gain it through illicit means or through oppressing others, that's not real life. They're living a sham. They may get away with it for a time, but he warns the members of Timothy's church not to think that that is truly life. He wants the rich to live what they were truly made to live for, God's kingdom. We were all created to know God personally, to be with Him in the Garden of Eden, which when we've talked about our six-act play, you might remember the final act in God's plan for this world is a return to that called God's kingdom. And it's essentially a return to Eden where we and God are together again. And we're living with God's values built right into us, where it comes naturally to us to live as God created us to live. When we hoard, when we steal, when we oppress others, we're not living under the values of God's kingdom. And so the members of Timothy's church, rich or poor, were all called to live with the values of God's kingdom built right into them, to start practicing it now so they'd be ready for God's kingdom when it came in its fullness. So he calls the rich to do something of eternal and lasting value, to be generous and caring. Now it can, of course, in practice, be hard to find that balance. How do we balance how much we make versus how much we save for the future versus how much we can give away? It can be challenging. One of my favorite sources of advice on money in the Christian's life came from John Wesley's sermon centuries ago, but it's still relevant today, where he had three main topics that can be summed up as gain all you can, so you can save all you can, so you can give all you can. You can probably see how those three things are all connected. Gain all you can. But of course, if that becomes all you're trying to do, to gain, then you'll quickly wear yourself out. You'll find that there's no purpose to life, or you'll burn out. And so there's a limit to how much you can safely gain in order to actually save and give to others. The There's also, of course, a limit to how much you can save without holding it all back. If you're going to be able to give to others, you have to have a sense of balance in terms of how much you can save versus how much you can give. And finally, if you just give, you end up with no savings and you have no ability to provide for yourself or your family's needs. So there's a balance to all this. And that's why I think it's such a memorable and challenging statement that hides some complexity. To gain all you can, so you can save all you can, so you can give all you can. You can only give if you have the savings and the lack of debt in order to be comfortable giving to that degree. So they all kind of fit together, as you can see. Well, I have a question for you to consider today. How else do you think a follower of Jesus would look at money differently from someone else? How does gaining, saving, and giving all you can impact different areas of your financial life? Ideas about retirement, debt, and so on. And just a reminder that we are reading the Bible in sync as a community. On our app or website, you can find today's Bible reading. Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.